Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, well, it's not exactly the week after Thanksgiving, but I'm still trypto-fantastic co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
I am not trypto-fantastic. I had like maybe two pieces of turkey, and that's it. I don't like turkey.
Well, that's just insane. How do you... One day a year, man. One day that, a year.
Plenty. One day a year is plenty.
Jeepers. Well, we're glad to be back. Before we begin tonight, though, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Planestalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge. Oh my gosh, let's take that again. With their clean open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York, and also on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is 100% the best place to go in gaming, especially during the holiday season. Now, if you're not in New York and you can't get there, or, you know, you just can't make it, it's that time of year, they have an awesome website, which you absolutely should go and buy stuff for the magic people in your life. Go to KGS Online. That's it stands for Kerwin's Game Store, or KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PLANESTALKERS at checkout. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons: Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, Dragon D's Nuts, and Levi. And also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan. And we can't forget our producer level patrons, Jamie and Scoop. We want to thank you guys. We couldn't do this show without you, especially this time of year. They help out in so very, very many ways. One thing they get, all patrons get, is the chance to play with us on our Wednesday Commander Craft broadcast. If you want to get in on that, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers, hit us up on the Discord, and we'll get you in for a Wednesday night. I think we're still looking for two people. I think Levi said he's thinking about playing second game, so that would be fun. I like playing against Levi. I do not have a new deck yet.
We had a returning champion from 2 weeks ago, didn't we?
Who was it?
I don't remember who that was. A lot's happened.
Was it Colin?
It might have been.
I think it's Colin.
Yeah, it might have been. I'd have to check. I'd have to check back on the old episode to see. But I know we had a champion going into this, and I know it was there.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to figure that out. We also are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plane Talker Network. Ugh, let's take that again. Holy cow! I'm way out of practice. We are also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planestalkers Network of Podcasts. Our you know what the problem is? I'm just drinking plain Coke. There's too much blood in my alcohol system. All right, let's try that again. We are also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planestalkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel, and you can download them on most podcatchers. For more, hit them up on our Discord. They have a great area that's also very, very active. So before we do that, though, this is untapped, but I'm untapping just straight Coke. There's not even Jack, dude. Like, legit, I'm still a little nervous after last week, but Aramis, sir, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a little while since we've been on, so, you know.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. Well, I mean, we've been doing Commander Craft right along.
Yeah.
But doing the podcast, I think 2 weeks ago you had a problem, like a migraine or something was going on.
Those kind of shut me down, so I couldn't do the show a couple weeks back. And then you got nailed by a bug last week.
Oh, here's what happened. The eldest came home from college. Okay, so he comes home on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we're going to do Thanksgiving. But the boy is green around the gills. Like, he sat down here once, and then we checked his temperature at about noon. And we're like, oh my God, dude, you've got like 101 fever. You can't go anywhere near your grandparents. Like, we were having everybody over and they were already on their way. So we kept Nicholas separated, which kind of sucked for Thanksgiving. His girlfriend came. He didn't get to see her. Like, it really was awful. But, and then around, I don't know, 10 o'clock Wednesday night. So after we got everything cleaned up, we did Commander Craft, and I was like, during the broadcast, you said, are you okay, you sound stuffed. That was the host show. Thursday, dead. Couldn't move. Congested, sick, just fever, the whole nine. I was down. Friday, still feeling the same way, but feeling a little better. But then when Wendy got it Sunday, that's when we ran the kid in for a COVID test, all of us. We all went in. None of us had it. It was just some stupid flu or something that just kicked us all. And so Monday was my first day back going, you know, to work and stuff. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to take that night off, and, you know, pass out. So I apologize for that. We are still going to do – nice. We are still going to do the call-in show on the 20th, the Christmas extravaganza. I just, you know what? Yeah, it's not the 125th episode, but we're going to celebrate it early. So the call-in show is still happening December 20th, so in 2 weeks. Make sure that you be a part of that. We had a real lot of fun with that last time. So, but what about you? How was your Thanksgiving? How was your? Have you finished holiday shopping? Have you bought me anything cool?
Let's see. Thanksgiving. I mean, for me, Thanksgiving is basically Thursday. Yeah. So, you know, I watched some football, helped with the food. You know, we had just my sister-in-law over and my brother-in-law who we'd picked up from Ithaca the weekend before. So, you know, really quiet, really low key. It was cool. You know, it was nice. And it was sort of nice just to have the small little gathering because big crowds, a lot of the times it's too overwhelming.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, we did that. It was all good. I got most of my holiday shopping done. I think I only have like a couple little trinkets to get. Nothing that really is super important. If I don't get them, it's not a huge deal. They're like stocking stuffers. Patiently awaiting my Crimson Vow bundle.
Oh, yes. We have to get you that. So I forgot what things happen. So we have a great deal of stuff going on. So, we've got an announcement we can't make yet.
Was that an announcement of an announcement?
Yes. We're doing the Wizards thing. I'm pretty sure the next episode we do, whether it be Commander Craft or this show next week, you're definitely going to want to tune in. We've got some great stuff coming there. We have a meeting tomorrow and stuff. So, but on that note, let's go into upkeep and kind of talk about what the show is going to be tonight. Cause we got a lot to catch up on. We're obviously going to do the State of Standard. Things have changed. We did have an event this past weekend. We're going to touch a little bit on that. And then we're going to go into announcements and news, which is what everybody wants to talk about lately. We're going to roll back the clock a little bit and kind of touch on the unsets because I think our cohorts on Cantrip Cartel, Jake said it best. He was pretty well, like, in my opinion, WotC has spit in the face of its player base twice in 10 days. So we're going to talk about the unsets, and then we're going to go into Alchemy. So this, you know, that's going to be main one. Combat, shocker, is going to be Alchemy. Mm-hmm. And then main two, we're going to kind of touch on the Innistrad Championship, and then we'll go over the Winna box. We do have a champion for that. And then we're going to give you some programming notes. So that's going to be our show tonight. So I guess we should get right down to it because, again, we got a lot to get to. So let's go to main phase.
Main phase.
You can have your mic in the shot. I have mine in the shot.
I'm just moving it around. It's in my way. I can't see it.
All right, main phase. So State of Standard. You know, Standard has, well, it started to kind of settle, but I don't think it's done settling yet. I mean, I don't know. Mono white aggro is tough.
I think one thing's for sure. I think Alarant's Epiphany is going to be sticking around for a while.
Really? You don't think it's going to get banned?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like they would have done it already. I don't know. I mean, like, I know that the big Innistrad championship that is at Epiphany did win, and there were, five of them in the top eight?
So, again, I don't see how you keep that deck around when it is... I mean, how would you define warping the meta? There's no other way to define it other than five of the top eight.
What's keeping it out though is its overall share of the metagame is below one of those key markers that they look at. It's below 25%.
Is it though? Is it Dragon 17? Is it Control 9.9? Mm-hmm. All right, so we're already in Grixis control 4.8. It's a third of the meta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my opinion, and then you know, it is. It's literally a third of the.
That's the thing. If they do decide to lump those together, which I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. But I wouldn't be surprised at this point if they let it stick around, saying that, oh, we think it's diverse enough. There's enough things floating around. Okay, yeah, it's popular and it's powerful, but stuff beats it.
Well, I mean, part of the combat we're going to talk today, I've got some opinions on. I've really been thinking long and hard about Standard, and I've been thinking this past 3 weeks, believe it or not, I actually think about the show. And I am not so sure Arena is a good thing anymore. I was somebody put it in our Discord the other day, and this is what got me kind of thinking about it, is that somebody said, you know, hey, where is it? Just wanna. It seems like everyone is sleeping on Howlpack Piper. It feels relatively easy to go turn one Mana Dork, turn two whatever, turn three Howlpack, turn four Hullbreaker Horror with bounce backup. What am I missing? And he's not wrong. It's not a bad deck, but I'm starting to feel like Arena might be. And this is a hot, you know, hot take coming your way. I think Arena's bad. I think Arena being so much of a video game, and so it's bad for Magic in that we're not as diverse anymore. It's because of the way the ladder is structured, because of the way, you know, Mythic happens and all this stuff. You're not, you know, it's not playing, you know, decks and trying new decks. It's does my deck win enough to make me Mythic, you know, and does it win enough in Mythic to get me into one of these events? It's a little different than, you know, spiking tournaments, finding different interactions and things of that nature. And it's a different part of our brains, I think, as far as mine goes. And again, we could save this for combat, but I think that's part of what's happening here, is that Standard feels kind of, it's diverse, and we should really be okay with it. I mean, you've got a mono-white aggro deck, and white hasn't seen anything in forever. You know, green is sitting there, red is completely gone, and you have control decks. Like, we should be trumpeting Standard from the rooftops, and yet I feel unsatisfied. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the top, like, it's what, the top 15 decks in the meta? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them are control decks of some flavor.
Yep.
So control's out there. The problem is that it's not holding the share of the meta, because mono white aggro is it of some iteration, and mono green aggro, those are the decks to play if you want to get to Mythic.
And that's where I'm sitting here now. And again, it's also people have figured out that Wizards in their ladder matchmaking are actually trying to stack you against decks that don't win well. So you have to play consistent decks that can beat almost any deck game one or game two, you know.
Well, there's something that you can do that's almost even an exploit. Once you hit like Platinum 4 or Diamond 4, you start losing a bunch on purpose.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
You lose like 10, 15 in a row on purpose. And then you start playing again, seriously. And then what happens is that you start going up against people who have a really bad win rate and the worst decks, and you can basically kind of pad your record, and that sort of catapults you up to Mythic, and then from there you do whatever you want to do because you're Mythic.
Again, we'll talk about this during combat, but I mean, I can't help feeling, you know, for the last 2 years it was Kaldheim. For the last 2 years it was, oh crap, what the hell was the name of that set?
Eldraine.
God, my brain is fried. You know, we've been crying about Eldraine. Before that, you know, and Arena came around the year before that. Okay, but Arena was still brand new and shiny, and then Eldraine happened, and then the pandemic happened, and Arena became like the way most people consume Magic. And, excuse me, I didn't mean to do that on air. I just can't help feeling these days that, and I think Wizards is leaning into this. This will lead right to the second part of news. But, you know, I think Standard's in trouble. The state of Standard is not good, because while we have a diverse standard right now, okay, yeah, 9 decks are our control. But some of that could also be how MTG Goldfish, like, classifies them.
Right.
Like, I almost think Isit Dragons and Isit Control are very similar decks. So it could be a little bit sideways. There's two Esper controls right next to each other. They're different makeups, but... So that being said, okay, even if it's 50-50, okay, say out of the top 10, there's 5 control decks and 5 different aggro decks. Okay, that's a diverse meta. That's a good thing. People can play the colors they want. They can play the decks they want. Granted, you're not going to play mono red if you're a mono red spike guy like myself. It's not a good day for you. Okay, I had a good couple of years there. So, you know.
Also, too, if you look at it from the paper perspective, with all the different booster variants and everything else that they've had, it's never been cheaper to get into standard.
I can't help thinking more and more and more that standard's in trouble. That standard itself is in trouble. And I don't know what the answer is. Because, I mean, think about it. All right, you and I are of the same mind as far as playing... you know, in person on Friday night Magic at Kerwin's, okay? Because our store, Kerwin's, they run 2 events on Fridays. They run a standard event, Constructed, and Commander. Well, when Aramis and I were going for the 5 or 6 weeks there, we were able to before we, you know...
It was two or three weeks.
Whatever.
Let's be honest.
we played Commander. Because standard was boring. It was Eldraine, and all Eldraine all the time. We didn't even have standard decks. I didn't have a standard deck built. I still don't. I do an arena, and I play standard a lot in arena. I don't play historic a ton in arena. I kind of run back and forth, but I'm going to stop playing historic soon. Spoiler alert. But that being said, I think standard is struggling, and I don't know what the answer is to fix it. I don't know if it can be. I'm concerned.
It can be. I think it can be fixed. I think the problem is going to be I don't think Wizards has as much time as they think they do to fix it. I do think there is a solution out there, but if Wizards has one, they need to start talking about it like yesterday. Right. To me, the solution to fix standard is they need to figure out what the hell they're doing with competitive Magic.
I agree with that.
They need to figure that out like now, because you know this lame duck season of the MPL, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I mean, yes, this Innistrad Championship happened. Great for Yuki Ichikawa for winning the tournament with Isit Epiphany. Awesome.
Didn't even know what was going on.
I barely knew. I happened to know it was going on randomly. I didn't watch any of it.
And I was like, oh, they're running a championship? It's Maria. Like, I'm like, well, look at that. I had no time to watch it.
They need to revive competitive play. They need to get that system in place, or at least tell us that they're working on it. Like seriously, like give us a morsel. They need to incentivize people to go to their LGS to play in events. I mean, yes, COVID is still a big thing.
Every store was having championships this weekend. They were trying that. And as I understand it, stores were packed. So, okay.
Some stores, not every store. But, you know, if it's safe to go to an event, events need to start happening in that regard if it's safe. But the bones of this structure and the foundation of this new structure have to be started to be put in place now, because what's going to happen after this season? They're not going to just... If they're going to do something, they need to start talking about it. If they're not, they need to tell us. Because that's the only thing that's going to really save standard, because what's coming down the pike, I think, is going to be another big blow to standard. And arena in general.
So, and let's kind of pivot off of that. Let's get into the news, because they have made announcements this past 2 weeks. Again, we're sorry we were off. But 2 major announcements came out in the last, I want to say, 14 days. The first big one was, and, you know, they kind of gave us a little bit more information on, what is it, Unfinity? Is that what they're calling it?
Unfinity, it's
an unset. If you're unfamiliar with what unsets are, stereotypically an unset has been a product that was really made for the fans where crazy, fun, wacky stuff happens. And it's...
Yeah, very very tongue-in-cheek, very casual, stuff that you wouldn't normally
Alexander Clamilton. I rest my case.
Earl of Squirrel.
So...
The Infernal Spawn of Evil.
So, they've messed with the format a few times. It used to be they would release it as boosters and draft events, you know. So but it was always kind of short lived. You know, a store would do it 3 or 4 times, and then they were out of stock, and that was it.
I mean, the sets were always successful.
They were always successful, but it was just always kind of like a flash in the pan here and then gone. And then what they did last year was, instead of putting out the Commander home game, or the Magic home game, they released Unsanctioned?
Unsanctioned.
Yeah. Unsanctioned was released as kind of like a board game of Magic. And it was great. We bought them. I bought one. I might buy another one because I still like the lands. So they released that, and that was a different way to do it. And some people bitched and complained, but most people were like, you know, this isn't horrible. I mean, I would love booster packs.
It's fun. This is the set where you don't take anything serious.
Well, the thing they were mad about was like, I wouldn't mind buying booster packs of these. And, you know, they were actually just, they were 5 pre-con decks or 4 pre-con decks. So what they did, you know, so they're going back to kind of the old way, which is, as I understand it, it's going to be booster packs. So kind of meant to be drafted or sealed and, you know, in limited format, and that's great.
The collector boosters as well.
That's awesome. That's great. That's awesome. I couldn't love it more. But then they dropped the bomb. 'Cause here's the thing, what these unsets used to do was the cards were what they called silver bordered, meaning that if they're not legal in any sort of competitive way at all. You can't even walk up to a Commander event at a store and play with these cards. They're not legal.
Yeah. Kitchen table, totally fine.
It's what it was. So, and that was fine. And so they printed them with a silver border. Well, for this set, they've said, we're going to print them all in black border, which is just... and then... The other side of that is, and some of them will be, eternal format legal, meaning Commander,
yes,
Legacy, Vintage, not Modern, right?
I don't think Modern.
So it's Commander, Legacy, and Vintage legal. Our cohorts over at Cantrip Cartel, Jake's furious. Jake is... He's fit to be tied. Again, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Go to the Cantrip Cartel channel. Jake is not hiding his disdain for this plan. Now, I will say this. I love the Shocklands being in it. That's kind of the big thing. They are going to have the Shocklands.
I don't like the way they're doing the
space stuff?
No, I love the art. The Shocklands themselves are beautiful. Okay. They're gorgeous. They're only going to show up 1 in every 24 booster packs. Which means if you buy a box, they have box toppers, you're going to get one there. You might get one more per box. Collector boosters, they might show up, I think, maybe 1 in a box again or a little more frequently. But it's going to be hard to get these cards. And I just they're not even that valuable. Why are they're like 15, maybe 20 bucks, and the only reason they kind of spiked is I don't even really know. But
it's just,
and they just had these in a secret lair as well. So it's like if you're going to offer the shocks, just put them in at rare and just make them show up regularly like everything else. But they're going to be only showing up in borderless, 1 every 24 packs. You get one as a
box topper. Which I'll order a box probably.
And I think you can only get them in foil if you get the collector boosters. And going back to what you were saying about some of the cards being legal, the only way you can tell is if you look at the little holo stamp on the bottom of the card. If it's a rare, it'll be a regular oval holo stamp if it's a regular tournament legal card. If it's not tournament legal, that holo stamp is going to be in the shape of an acorn. And for the other cards in the set, they're going to put a little acorn stamp at the bottom of the card if it's what the silver border used to be. But it's like, that's one more thing to really have to keep track of. And I like the idea, but the implementation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that with a lot of the Magic products. This is a great idea. Implementation is not the great. This is like a minor gripe for me as far as the acorn and not acorn is concerned. I'm more mad about the Shocklands. Yeah. because I was considering maybe getting a box just to sort of see how many I could crack or whatever. Now it's like, if I want one, I'll have to, I mean, they'll be expensive, but I'll have to buy one.
And that's what, look, I mean, you know, again, spoiler alert for the second half of this news, but it's starting to become, you know, oh, there. That's our Pamela music. Hello, Pamela. How are you? The fact is, something has happened to WotC or Hasbro or both. But apparently, the boss from Christmas Vacation has somehow gotten promoted to the head of that company. Because now, there is no way everything is about squeezing every single last dollar out of all of us. All right, the fact that you're putting Shocklands in 1 out of 24. Oh, and you're getting it as a box topper. But I'll bet you the MSRP of the box topper is probably like a Horizon set and not like a regular standard.
Oh, I think the plan is to make them cost like a regular set. The problem is I think the print run is going to be lower. So, ergo, the boxes will be more expensive.
This is just...
because there won't be as much around.
And that's what's pissing me off. Because, and you know what? Let's pivot. Let's pivot. Because this is it. This is, I've been waiting for our show for this. They had a second news article that came out of nowhere the other day. Now, I can't say we didn't see this coming. Because we did. We have talked about it. We saw it. And we even said, hey, I'd be okay with, in theory, what they're proposing with Alchemy, which is their new format that they're going to introduce into Arena, I do believe, this week.
Thursday.
Is Jam of the Month Club. Yes, Park Mania. Exactly. The idea with Alchemy is... and you could kind of, like I said, the writing was kind of on the wall. They've had a few different events where they kind of, they did an event where they played with the banned cards and they changed the wording on them to make them playable. And they even said there, they're like, hey, this may be a thing. And we were like, I think we both were like, absolutely. Like any way we can use our banned cards, you know, if you can reformat and rebalance them, that's great.
I don't remember what my initial reaction was to that.
I think we were positive.
I think I was positive to a point.
You said it could go. I do believe you said it could go very wrong. Welcome to now.
I did say something like that. I hate being right. I hate it.
And then when they came out with this when they added a lot of the Modern Horizons into Historic, whatever they called it, the Historic Jumpstart or whatever.
Jumpstart Horizons boosty.
Yeah, they added in, they started creating mechanically unique digital cards that were in the digital format only. And that's where we both were kind of like, I'm not liking this. You know, we were, again, this could be fun, but we didn't think it was going to see any play. Well, now they're taking us right over the fucking cliff. So Alchemy, and there's our explicit tag for tonight. Alchemy is their new format, and it's a play mode based on the standard format, but it's not standard, that incorporates new-to-digital magic alongside rebalanced standard cards to create a fast, ever-evolving experience for our players. All right, I'll read that again. Alchemy is our new MTG Arena play mode based on the standard format that incorporates new-to-digital magic alongside rebalanced standard cards to create a fast, ever-evolving experience for our players. Subtitle, we're now Hearthstone. Yep. So, on the surface, I wasn't too upset. I was like, okay, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of cool. You're playing around. I get what you're doing. And on the surface at first, I was like, this could be a thing, but you know, so they're gonna bring out, you know, like they kind of went through stuff like Wizard class. They're gonna change to cost more.
They changed the second activation to get to level 3. They reduced the cost from 5 to 3.
So to try to make the card a little bit more, you know, Yeah, a little bit better card.
Give a little bump.
And, you know, we knew some of the other cards that they were doing as far as, let me see, like Omnath. Well,
they changed Alrun's Epiphany.
Alrun's Epiphany, they kind of, you know, what'd they do? They made it 7-4 tell it.
They made it 7-4 tell, and they also only give you the birds if you foretold it.
You know, Asika's Chariot, now you only get one cat.
You get one.
You know.
Yeah, but they also reduce the crew cost to 2, so it can still do itself.
Faceless Haven. They Goldspend, right? So they took these cards that are probably, and they made Luminarch Aspirant unplayable. They did, moving it to end step, who cares? Like, Luminarch Aspirant is, it's almost, yeah. So they just went through and kind of, they fiddled with things. And again, I was like, well, this could be kind of an interesting new way to play. No problem. I didn't catch on to the big problem here. And then I saw a tweet on it the other day, and I did put it into our Discord. Like, I was like, oh, I hadn't seen this. But basically, it was somebody saying, Lee Sharp, MTG Lee. And he was responding to Saffron Olive. He's like, Historic and Alchemy will use the rebalanced versions only. Standard will use the normal versions only. So they have killed Historic.
You don't have that quite right
I
still.
Don't.
Not quite. So well, when a new set comes out, about 30 days after the new set comes out, like we'll say Kamigawa, they'll release the Alchemy set for that expansion. That will include some new cards and also rebalancing of certain cards. Those new rebalanced cards will be the standard versions, and all those rebalanced cards will also be the historic versions.
Oh, because that's not what Lee Sharp said here. He's like,
that's basically what's going to happen. After about 30 days, standard is going to change. And then Historic will change, and Historic Brawl will change.
Yeah, Historic and Historic Brawl are the problems I have.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were doing it in Standard.
Yeah, it's going to be Standard. So if a card is a problem in Standard, they're going to tweak it, and then that's the version you're going to have to
play. Are you sure about that?
And the other, the other problem is, if they tweak a card and it becomes unplayable, like Luminarch Aspirant, you do not get wild card.
Yeah, that's where I'm having a problem.
I'm having a problem with
I'm having a problem with the, you know, with the fact that, you know, you're not going to get, what do you call it? You're not going to get wild cards if they ban a card now. They're just going to...
You're not going to get a choice either. I mean, like...
So I thought...
I'm okay...
I thought Alchemy was a play mode. So the standard cards would
it is a play mode. You can do standard, and you can do Alchemy standard.
Standard. They will branch that off. You're not gonna fuck with standard.
Standard is standard. But if you want the fully online experience, that's what I meant. I think I understand.
Yeah, because you made it sound like they were gonna fuck with standard.
No, yeah. Well, they are fucking with standard, but it's going to be the Alchemy standard is going to branch off. But you're not gonna have that choice.
No, and that's the problem I have. Historic and Historic Brawl should not be fucked with. Like, you should have the choice. You know?
Real talk?
Yeah.
I'm seriously considering giving up Arena after this.
You know what?
I'm seriously considering just, like, not firing it off anymore. Because this, it's... If it's just...
I've gone to combat, because I... Yeah. I'm letting you take it. Go to town.
I have a lot of problems with this. The biggest problem that I have, not even how the format works, not even how it's going to change Historic and everything else, not even the redemption or lack thereof. Who asked for this?
Nobody.
I don't remember anybody saying, you know what, it'd be really great if we could play with edited versions of these cards.
No, we did.
And
people,
you know,
did ask for that. They were excited when they rebalanced Omnath, when they rebalanced Agent of Treachery, and the fact that we could play with those cards, everybody was excited about that. But we also got our wild cards back.
Yeah, I didn't care about the rebalanced versions of the card. Like, if it's banned, fine. I don't play it. Whatever. I can play it in, you know, friendly matches. Okay, cool. It's just like you devoted resources to this when they could have been devoted to keeping the client stable, when they could have been devoted to implementing,
coding pioneer,
or just the sets that are already coded in the freaking game that were never released after beta.
Well, now they're going to rebalance them.
And then the way that they're doing this, again, the complete lack of choice for someone like me, like most of the time when I'm on Arena, I'm playing Historic Brawl. Now I have to worry about how is this going to change the decks that I'm playing that I put these resources into to build that I'm not going to get compensated for. I mean, look, and I'm not going to be, you did a thing, I want compensation. No.
You're not taking your ball and going home at all. You're having an actual reaction to this.
I do not like this at all.
I'm with you.
I feel like you should have the option, besides having to do a direct challenge, to play the cards the way they're printed.
And to be honest...
And in Historic, the only way you can do that now is with a friendly challenge after the 9th. Because what will happen is if you're in any Historic queue... You're going to get the rebalanced versions of the cards, whether you like it or not. And I think that's terrible. I think this is something that, okay, if it was just the digital exclusive cards, I think I'd be a little more okay with it. Or, again, if you had the choice to say, I'm playing this match, and being able to toggle a switch when you're going to queue for your match. Do you want to play with alchemy cards? On or off? Click that shit off every time for me. Because I enjoy playing cards the way that they're printed. If they're broken, okay, that happens. And if you ban them, fine. I'm okay with that. It's an evolving game in that regard, but we can't even get rid of these cards if we don't want to use them anymore.
You can't dust. You can't, yeah. The fact is, this was stupid.
This was fucking stupid.
I'm going to go get, all right. It is a good idea for Hasbro Wizards. This will stop the wild cards. This will slow down wild cards, meaning people will have to spend more money to get jewels, gems, and all that stuff. It will also appeal to a different fan base. I was listening to a podcast or watching a video or something the other day, and I didn't realize it, but I'm starting to realize that Wizards does not value you and me and the old school. They don't value us anymore. They want the Hearthstone money. They want Blizzard money. They want, instantaneous. And they don't want us to own anything. They want us to rent their cards, which is what you do in Arena, if you think about it. They could turn the servers off tomorrow.
You can't cash out.
And nothing.
You get nothing.
So at the end of the day, I think this is a result of our own success. Now, Arena was a real help during the pandemic. They were. They still are. It is how events are being done. And since it's so cheap, I don't see them ever going back to paper like Pro Tours, because they're like, why would we? We can pay Maria to sit at home. We don't have to put Maria in a hotel. We don't have to have 55,000 techs.
I think it'll be closer to what you were expecting, whereas like the Channel Fireballs, the Star City Games of the world will be taking over the larger tournaments, and then Wizards will be providing like some logistical support, with that, saying, okay, we'll give you this XYZ. Here's some structural things you can do. Blah blah blah. We, with the caveat that okay, so we'll make it an officially sponsored event, but you do have to do X, Y, and Z the way that we want you to. I think that's becoming more of a reality.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to that. I think Star City Games. I think Star City Games and Channel Fireball have earned the trust of us, because they're built by people that play the game, that know how to play the game, and that make money off paper. Wizards, I think, wants to make the money off the Arena. So this whole thing, and here's the thing, I have not heard anybody in the industry, be positive about this. Now, I haven't heard MTG Goldfish podcast, because they release on Monday as well. I'll listen to that tomorrow. And, they tend to be pretty Pollyanna about stuff. You could tell that, you know, they're very, they walk that fine line because they like wizards and giving them stuff. But, I mean, the fact is, there is absolutely no way that this is good for the fan base. This is good for the video game community. Okay? This is not a big deal to them. But for us, Magic is not about a video game. We use Arena to play Magic. They play Magic Arena. That's kind of the how the fan base is starting to schism a little bit.
No, that's I think is the best way to put it, is that there's two different audiences, right, that consume this particular product. The people who don't have a local play group, or it's late at night and they want to get a couple of games,
or
in,
they're pooping.
And this is the way they can do that, because Magic Online is, you know, bugged to hell. Which, by the way, I'm probably going to start playing a lot more Online, because I can actually play play Commander on Magic Online. And I looked, the Zakama deck that I have built only costs like $70 on Magic Arena.
With rental, like, it's $20 a month. You can play with almost any deck you want. So, I mean, and I could spend $20 a month on Arena. So, the point is, you know, it's a combat for us, but I think the combat is greater in that
it's just a level
right,
of outrage.
Well, I overall feel this. I feel, and I did not believe this before, when there are some out there that are like, Arena is going to be the death of Magic. Arena is hurting Magic. Arena is hurting the game of Magic the Gathering now. It has stopped being supportive and is starting to become... It was a support system, and now it's a focus. And that's not good. Like I said, it's already... Look at deck creation. Go back and look at standard metagames for the last five years, and you could see a steady decline on innovation. What happens is that one deck starts winning, and again, people start laddering up, and people, you know, you may try to fight against that one deck, but you're not innovating as much. People aren't innovating. They're just kind of, they're trying to ladder. So I feel that Arena has actually been detrimental to Magic overall. I really do. And I don't know how much longer I can support it. I think you're right. I'm also leaning towards moving away from Arena. Now, for the Winnebox tournaments, obviously we're going to stay in Arena, or we're going to figure something out. You know, we got to go to the drawing board. Maybe we move to MTGO. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really buggy.
And it's hard to stream it.
And here's the problem with me too, is that I've been slowly accumulating resources, for lack of a better term, on Arena, for, you know, if I ever decide to go all in on like on a set or something. So I have like 17 draft tokens, like 20,000 gems, 100 some odd thousand gold. I don't know how many hundreds of wild cards. My vault is at like 3,500%. You know, I've intentionally been staying away from putting resources in and just playing and grinding, and like the only thing I'll buy are like the mastery passes and stuff. Guess what?
I didn't buy the mastery pass for this yet. Nope.
I've been buying the mastery pass because I like the draft tokens. I think that's something, like, if they offered that on the store, I probably would have been buying more of those.
Well, Parkman,
but now it's
Parkman,
like,
says something, one of our listeners, let me put this out there, that he feels WotC has become too subservient to Hasbro in the last 2 years. Arena, Secret Lair, Worlds Beyond. Totally agree.
Oh, that's obvious. Well, and it's really a two-way street as well, because there are plenty of voices within Wizards of the Coast, and I think Mark Rosewater is among them, who feel that Magic is a game first and a business second, and that the game needs to be respected, and that the game, and I honestly think he does what he thinks is best for the game.
He realizes without the
whatever
game, you
criticisms
don't have
aside,
that's his thought.
Yeah, and I mean he takes a lot of flack. Because he decided that he was going to be the mouthpiece for the game, and people direct all their animosity at him when something goes wrong. I'm definitely not blaming Mark Rosewater.
Nobody
for this.
Is blaming Rosewater for this.
I don't think anybody should.
And Rosewater, if you read his tweets, he is walking that line. There are times where he's like, listen, I'm with you. I can't be with you.
Here's what I'm getting at. There is that group of people inside Wizards who is like, this is Magic, this is what it's supposed to be. There's plenty of people who work for Wizards, who work for Magic, who play the game religiously, or who are former pros. You know, they just hired a couple of former pros. So there's that group of people who are like, we want the game, to hate throwing around the term, but we want the integrity of the game to remain intact. There are another group of people within Wizards who answer to what Hasbro wants, which is profit, 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 profit. This game has made them a ridiculous amount of money the last couple of years. Last year especially, this year especially. These last 2 years have been the biggest years for Magic the Gathering, and it has not been particularly close. Secret Lairs, the pandemic, them purchasing Spell Table, obviously, you know, the rise of Arena because of the pandemic. They've been able to get these resources to now branch out to do the World Beyond thing, which I am glad, going back to that a little bit, that they are doing sort of quasi reprints of the mechanically unique cards from Worlds Beyond into at least set boosters.
But you can't get set.
So you can have a chance to get these if assuming they get distributed. I'm not so much blaming Wizards for that either. That's a pandemic thing that's happening with everything and everywhere. But I feel like the almighty buck.
Yeah.
It's capitalism for good or for ill. Nothing is wrong with making a bunch of money. The problem that I'm having is that they seem to be trampling over the people who are making them that money to do that. But the other problem is there are enough people left who are willing to spend more than the people who have gotten trampled to keep the game going the way that it is. And it's just this particular move for me, it's like, I mean, this is the most disenfranchised I've been with the game since the last time I quit.
And here's the thing, Park brought it up, Secret Lairs. You know, now Wizards is getting into distribution. Now Wizards is getting into, and again, Arena and all this stuff is going to cut into the game stores. This is all bad. This is all bad. I like Secret Lairs. I have ordered a few Secret Lairs. I like some of the newer ones.
What I like about the Secret Lairs is the fact that you don't have to.
I'm not ordering the Commander Secret Lair. I was like, $99 for Commander deck? Nah. That would have to be upgraded anyway.
You are still getting your money's worth. You're still getting your money's worth. Yeah. But yeah, I understand. Not getting it either. But that's also a big omen.
Like, this is coming.
For them saying, oh, you want good stuff in a Commander deck? Well, how about a Secret Lair Commander
deck? How about a Standard deck? One of the mid-tier Standard decks. We'll sell you the whole deck for.
I would see them doing Pioneer.
Oh no! If this deck sells, nope. Understand this.
You're able to get more bang for your buck out of Commander than you are from Standard, though. And that's what the thing. You got to think about maximizing the profit. Commander decks will make you a lot more money than a Standard deck because that Standard decks don't rotate.
And that's
Commander decks don't rotate.
Just it. They make more money off Standard because it rotates. Because now the deck is no longer any good. But the point I'm making is this. Understand this. That to Hasbro, WotC is nothing more than lines on a spreadsheet. Okay? They don't care about this business. They don't care about the game. They care about the profit. And I am sure that WotC has a mandate. Now that they've become their quote-unquote own division, there's a mandate involved in that. I'm almost certain of it. I wish I could ask my friend who just became a lawyer for Wizards. She works for Wizards. And believe me, if I can ever find a reason to have her on, I will. But, I mean, and hi, Layla, if you're watching. The fact is, though, right now, this is not a good time for us. Like, I think we are at a shift. And if Wizards... Now, Wizards may back this off. Again, don't forget, we got them to change the historic wild cards. Okay? Again, nobody has been positive about this. It's very possible Wizards is going to roll this back.
I hope they do. I mean, at the very least, I hope they give you the option in historic as well. If they go along with everything else and then say, okay, well, we'll have to split the historic queue as well. I'm fine with
historic
that.
Brawl.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Fine. That's all I play anyway.
But if they don't, then I'm probably done with Arena 2. I won't lie to you. If I play now, I only play... I don't even do my daily tasks anymore. I may go in 3 times a week. I'm not going to lie to you. For me, my Magic, fix is done on Wednesday nights here at Commander Craft. 7 p.m. Wednesdays.
Yeah. Like, to me, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I think Standard is dead to me. I really
do. Until... Wait, dude. All right, we need to talk offline. But We're a Standard podcast, motherfucker.
But here's the thing. Until or unless they give you a real incentive to play Standard, which is the premier competitive event.
Yeah.
I mean, ranking doesn't really get you anything. Getting I've never been to Mythic, and I have no interest in being in Mythic because you don't really get anything for being Mythic unless you're top 1,000 right. or whatever, which in order to do that, you need Magic to be basically a full-time job. I ain't got that kind of time. I got a 7-year-old. I got a job. I got other things I want to do, like, I don't know, sleep. But, I mean, it dead to me in the sense that it's not holding my interest. And it's I'm glad that it's diversified. I'm glad that it's not broken. Yes, Alrun's epiphany aside. But it's like, give me a reason to care. I mean, Commander, like you said, this is Wednesday nights are my favorite nights of the week.
Yeah, mine too.
And the weeks that we don't go, or the weeks that I have bad games, like that's why I get salty. And saltiness, by the way, will also lead into potentially another topic we might touch on
salty?
Later today.
I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that.
I do.
Really? Salty? But, you? No.
Yeah, I know the last weekend's championship was mostly historic, but I'm talking like paper, if and when that returns. Historic's not going to be there. It's going to be Standard, maybe Pioneer, maybe Modern, probably not. But
well, that is the only Professor Bonds, which is the store out here in Amsterdam that, you know, my local game store, not Kerwin's, which, you know, they Friday night Magic is always Modern. I can't come. I'm like, I don't have a Modern deck. I can't play Modern. The cost of entry.
I know Kerwin says they do Modern on Tuesday nights.
So,
or no, Wednesday nights, because they do drafts, or is it my
what,
Pioneer?
Kerwin's?
I know they do drafts on Tuesdays. Yeah, Kerwin's is a weekly either Modern or Pioneer event.
So I'm not sure that Standard is the premier format anymore. The championship last weekend was mostly historic. You're right, Parker.
That's what I was mentioning. Yeah. I was mentioning that if we ever get back to paper, it's not going to be historic because historic is now they've put the nail in that coffin. Historic is a digital format, and these cards are going to be in historic. You're not going to be able to port your historic deck to a Friday Night Magic because it's just not going to work.
And that's
because half of these cards might not even exist.
And that's what sucks. I mean.
Yeah, but that's what I mean about Standard is that we're going to have to see how this goes through because after a month when they issue these rebalanced cards, what are the play numbers going to say? Are people going to be shifting more towards Alchemy because, I don't have to worry about that stupid broken card. They fixed it.
Here's what I worry about. Watch this. They go, hey, if you play Alchemy, we'll give you double your rewards. So they pad Alchemy's numbers, but... You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Yeah, it's a bad idea. And I'm worried about Arena overall. So let's get to main two because I want to start wrapping things up. We're already at the 50-minute mark. So
main phase.
All right, main phase two. Innistrad Championship happened over the weekend. I didn't get a chance to watch it mostly because I didn't know what was going on until, yesterday. And I traveled all day Saturday. Interesting, I read some of the highlights of it. Yesterday was all historic. The top eight, though, I love the fact that the entire Japanese team made it. I thought that was fantastic. But the top eight was, is it Epiphany, Mono Black Zombies? Is it Epiphany, Mono Green Aggro? Is it Epiphany, is it Epiphany, is it Epiphany?
Epiphany all the way down. So,
it's an interesting... It was an interest, as I understand it. Again, now I'm speaking from this, but again, I feel I'm not going to talk about blow by blow because I didn't watch it, so I'm not going to sit here in front like, "Oh, it was an amazing night." I have no idea how good it was. I'll watch the replay later. I do want to talk a little bit about it though because I feel that it is a little telling that there's not a lot of. It's not like they're throwing it up in Arena. It's not like, the Innistrad Championship is this weekend. Don't forget, set your clocks. And, it's kind of just.
And that's how it's been, though. That's how it's been. They're like, by the way, this happened. Oh, well, okay. Because unless you're face deep in Twitter, You have no idea this
And it's happening the same weekend you encourage stores to have their store championship. You didn't want people to watch this. Like, that's what it tells me. Like, a lot of stores had championships this weekend, which you didn't want people to watch this.
But again, too, this is also a lame duck season.
Well, of course it is.
Nothing's happening after this season.
So I'm a little concerned. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. And I don't understand why they call it the Innistrad. Was it Innistrad Crimson Vow Championship or just Innistrad? It was Innistrad, right?
They kind of just bunched both of them together because both the sets came out. They didn't have a championship for Midnight Hunt, so they're doing one for this. It's technically both. And I think they're not doing another one until Kamigawa, which is in February, March. That'll be when the next one is. But this is what I mean about standard, is that they don't advertise it. Yes, this was a lot of historic.
It was mostly historic
because it's arena, and it's arena because that's the only thing you can do for these events. But they didn't really advertise it. Again, unless you were really super keeping up on Twitter and happened to have Magic Esports followed, or you were trolling their Twitch page or something, you would have had no idea this was even going on. And also, store championships, like you said, were that weekend. So a lot of you were probably like, I want to get my hands on a foil worm coil engine with the store's name printed on it. That's pretty cool. It's a weird juxtaposition that the game is in. It's never been more popular, but I feel like it's never been in more trouble.
Yeah. Well, again,
because there's no system for organized play. Arena is its own money-making monster that they're doing whatever the hell they want with, actual customer requests be damned for the fact that they want just a stable client.
Right.
Small indie company.
I really feel, and here's the thing. Okay, I'm looking at the top eight right now. I just went to Twitch. That's why I came across the thing. Innistrad Championship, top eight, only 117,000 views. 117,000 views.
Which is higher than I think they had with one of their other tournaments recently. But yeah, that's still not a ton.
It's not, they have had better.
For a company that wants this to be the premier esport, although I guess maybe that dream is dead.
That ship sailed.
I mean, again, they don't really talk about it, so it's hard to really say if they're still looking at that aspect of it. I mean, because they want Arena to be an esport, but now they don't. Maybe they still do, but there's no MPL after next year. By the way, there's this huge tournament happening, but we're not going to tell you about it.
It's a bit of a scary thing for me now.
You see where I'm conflicted.
I'm also in the same boat. I'm in the same boat you are. I'm 100% in the same boat you are. Why do you automatically...
I want to be excited for these tournaments. I want to probably watch these tournaments, but I feel like I don't have a reason to because there's nothing really at stake. And I think for me, one of the biggest draws of these big events was that thought in the back of your mind saying, you know what, that could possibly be me one day.
Yeah.
That's impossible now. It's been impossible for the last couple of years. I don't even know if it's going to be possible after this year because, again, we have no idea what's happening after this season.
Yeah. This is,
the competitive player in me is weeping.
and I don't blame... No. Here's the thing. No. Again, 117,000 views. Ready? World Championship, 27, top 8, or top 4, 1.5 million. 117,000 is not a lot of views for a premiere.
That's 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of views are, Hearthstone getting? What kind of views are League of Legends getting, Fortnite?
So I'm...
They're apparent competitors that they're now doing secret layers.
So let's compare apples to apples. Strixhaven Championship top 8. Let's see here. 187,000 views. So again, the numbers are down. Yeah.
Lower.
The numbers are down.
That's almost 50%.
So my thinking is this. I'm a little concerned about the championships and stuff like that, but what are you going to do? This has been a really negative podcast. I'm not really, I wish I had better thoughts and news. I mean, we got to...
But I think it's justifiable because I think a lot of the stuff that's happening, people aren't asking for.
That's true.
People don't want this stuff, and they're doing it anyway. And, it's like opinions be damned. But, look, I get it. We're a bunch of, middle-aged guys yelling at the sky about
this. Get
these
kids off my lawn. And I'm sorry, I have a white beard, dude.
Yeah,
I'm old.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because you put on those rose-colored glasses and you look back on the days, you know, in high school
with Shiv and Dragon
or college. You know, yeah, you play your Shiv and Dragon and it's all this great stuff. And you're like, oh, that's a new card. What does this do? Yeah. I've never seen this one before. You know, before the internet and the sets were spoiled a week before they were released.
Well, I mean, Park Mania says it best. The top eight was dominated by the Japanese playing historical Gary food. It was horrible watching all of these mirror matches with 25 cat ovens going off every turn. Okay, I don't disagree.
Yeah. No, and that's a fair point. I mean, and but that again reinforces the negative play patterns that Arena pushes you into because it's all about ranking up. It's all about getting to Mythic. Once you're there, there's no longer room for innovation because now if you innovate, you get crushed.
Yeah, yeah, Innistrad Championship was Golgari midrange. Is it Phoenix? Jeskai creativity. Oh, that would have been fun to watch. Selesnya humans. Is it Phoenix? Golgari midrange. Golgari midrange. I'm with you. I mean, it is what it is. Let's pivot off of that, though. Let's try to get some more positive. So I want to send out a very hearty congratulations to XGolt01. XGolt01 is our champion, our win-a-box champion. So congratulations. And it bears noting, our first international champion. He did have a family here, and so the box was shipped to North Carolina. They did get it. He was playing, I forget what he was playing. And we do have the match. We may put that together. He sent it to me. He's like, it's not very good. It was fine. I mean, so we might just put it together if we do the box broadcast. Oh, he was playing Winota.
X-Cult was on Winota.
No, never mind. X-Cult, you suck. No. I'm kidding. So congratulations to him. He did win. He was up against, I want to say, Hippo?
I think it was the Finn deck.
So, again, I'm very glad he won. You know, very cool. We will do it again for Kamigawa. And, well, we're, you know, part of what we're talking about, we may be doing more of these type of events. Oh, he played Netrock. That's right. You know, we may have other ways to get, you know, stuff your way. So definitely, you know, oh, yeah, he was playing the Finn deck. You know, definitely be paying attention to that. So congratulations on that. And now, you know, as we kind of start winding things up here, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. It is the holiday season. Again, we kind of reserve the right to kind of take a week off here or there as we did the last two, but we probably won't until the end of the year at this point. But what we've got right now, programming note. So next week, we hope to have a great announcement dealing mainly with Commander Craft. So, and we're looking at possibly doing a special show the 15th. Again, everything's kind of up in the air. That's all I can say about that. I'm going to be a little dodgy right now. But we're very excited that we might have something to announce next week. Monday, do not forget, 12/20, December 20th, so 2 weeks from tonight, is going to be our call-in show. How does this work? Well, Aramis and I won't be on Zoom. We'll be on Discord. We'll
get a guy named Colin.
And we're going to basically be in there. We have inside our Discord, if you look at the interact with the shows, we have a live call-in show area. It's a stage area where Aramis and I will be talking and we'll be popping you guys in and out of the conversation. So if you've ever wanted to be a part of this show and ever wanted to hear your audio voice go out to many hundreds of people, this is for you. So please join us on that. It's going to be December 20th, preferably BYOB. Bring some eggnog, man. Aramis will be drinking his own eggnog. I might be drinking some sort of adult beverage myself. And then the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's, I'm very excited to announce this. And we're going to do this around your birthday too, by the way, Aramis, next year, right? You were born when? October? November? January. Oh, so we might. All right. Be thinking about this. Between Christmas and New Year's, Aramis and I, we're going to do a special Commander Craft birthday extravaganza. So, and I'm calling it the Will's Podcast Historical Match. What does this mean? It's going to be me and Aramis, and also Kyle and Bell from the podcast I used to do, Legends TV Talk. They're both patrons. They're both supporters of the show. They've both played with us before, but I don't think we've ever had the four of us together. So since my birthday is Christmas Day, December 25th, don't forget, tell your friends. Dude, it's my birthday. You can't roll it with a comma.
Okay, okay, fine, fine. How about
that? Oh, fuck off. 52 to 1 for those of you listening in the car. So that's the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. We're going to have Commander Craft, and it's going to be me, Aramis, and the other hosts I used to do with. So this is, I'm kind of jonesed for that. You know, it's my birthday, so I'm trying to figure out what deck I want to play with. I'm going to try to find something special. So, but that's all coming up, and then, you know, we're going to keep right on going. So we're almost to episode 125. The call-in show is supposed to be commemorative of 125, but we're just going to call it the Holiday Extravaganza. So anything else you could think of, sir?
Well, I mean, just real quick, I mean...
I hate your deck.
There was some drama.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
This is a big deal yeah. to me. I mean, I went back and watched all their episodes after watching a few. I mean, I think they were one of the probably the best Commander cast that was on, you know, as far as like player interactions and just being hilarious yeah. and having, I mean, they had freaking Post Malone on a bunch of times.
To be quite honest, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I love game nights. But it can get a little, for lack of a better word, a little jive. Like, sometimes you're just like,
yeah,
you
I mean,
guys
like,
are kind of...
Game Nights has the production yeah. value, but I Hate Your Deck had the vibe.
It just, you know, Game Nights, if you're going to compare the two, like, Game Nights seems kind of like the official, so they can't, like,
a little
we
more
can't
corporate.
Do anything
yeah.
too crazy, and look at what we're doing, you know, and mm-hmm. I Hate Your Deck is like, so, no, I'm going to find a way to piss all over you, like, you know, so
yeah, so the people who don't know, who maybe watch the I Hate Your Deck and maybe haven't been paying attention on to Reddit or Twitter or their Discord, Joe Johnson and Michael Lynch have
yes.
split. Joe Johnson is no longer part of the show. Mike Lynch is going to keep on going with the I Hate Your Deck
right.
brand. I guess there was some issue. I mean, going back to what I was talking about with saltiness, I guess there was some major issues with Joe Johnson and
yeah,
Salt.
Yeah, you could see it. I've seen
and,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it now more. Like, I'm bad at reading people just by watching them
yeah.
talk, but going back now and seeing some of the episodes, and then especially reading some of the things that Michael was saying that Joe was doing. I mean, I wish Joe nothing but the best.
I like Joe. Hopefully yeah, I just yeah.
He was. I mean, I felt like the show was right. hilarious. I mean, there were plenty of times I was just laughing out loud and with just some of the stuff that was going on, but it just it's. It's unfortunate that happened. I hope that, you know, they both have a lot of success in the future. I'm hoping maybe one day they reconcile, because
yeah.
I guess right now they're on pretty bad terms, which kind of sucks. You never want to see that happen to friends. But yeah, I mean that's a big deal, and I'm curious to see how I Hate Your Deck moves forward. I guess he's thinking about trying to get Rachel Weeks as the new co-host, which I think
right.
would be awesome.
I do too. And it's interesting. To be honest, I mean, you can't really get too upset on one hand about the salt, because the name of your show is it's you're kind of,
but I mean, it's like I've gotten salty on our show.
You
and
have
and
I've never
happened.
Noticed
I'm being serious and I acknowledge
I
that. I mean, I try to keep my competitive streak quashed
yes.
when we play Commander, because it's a casual format and everything else, but you know, there's just there are times when it's hard
yeah.
to control, and I have lost my cool a couple of times.
I think we all
and
do. Even I've
understand.
Lost my cool once or twice.
Yeah, and I can understand where that comes from, but it's being able to acknowledge it and grow from it, and try to and try your best not to do
right.
it again, because it's never not.
Well, I don't
want
to entertain rumors, but I'll say it this way. Some of the things I heard was not just saltiness, but it was how he treated guests.
Oh no, it was
how
it,
he treated guests
yeah, it was,
of the show.
Yeah, that's,
so and without
yeah.
guests, you know, like
guests on the show and
yeah,
also patrons.
If you don't treat your guests like if a player comes to me after Commander Craft and goes, "Wow, you're kind of a dick," I would feel horrible. Like, I'd be like, "Oh my god, I hope you know I'm kidding." And if any of you are out there who play with us who have ever felt this way, send me a DM or whatever, because you know, I know exactly how important, you know, because we tie Commander Craft to the patrons. I know exactly how important Commander Craft is and keeping that community thriving and going. And I'm glad that we kind of moved to rotating people in and out and getting different people to sit down and play with us. Because, God, well, you are such a dick. Fuck off, Kyle.
He is. He totally is.
But I just, for me, I feel that, you know, I value every freaking listener of the podcast. I value every viewer of the Commander Craft show. I value anyone who's ever thought about our stupid, dinky little podcast. Let's face it. We are not moving the needle here. Okay, Wizards has no idea we exist. And if they do, they're just pissed at us. But, I mean, we are not throwing up major, major numbers here. But, so I'm always acutely aware that without our listeners, we have no show. I've said it before. I've done other podcasts. I've done other shows where if I didn't see growth, if I didn't see listeners constantly downloading the show, I ended it. And if there comes a day where we don't have people downloading the show, then Aramis and I will have a hard, long conversation because I'm taking time away from my family. I'm taking time away from my wife and kids to do this.
Ditto.
And they love me so much, they're letting me. But and Aramis is in the same boat. And to honor Pam's sacrifice and my wife's sacrifice of our time, you know, so with that, I value every listener and viewer. You cannot be a host. If Post Malone comes in and pisses all over everybody at the table, he's a guest. You just don't have him back.
Which, by the way, based on the episodes that I've seen with him, that is not...
Oh, no, he's not like that at all.
Totally
chill, dude. But I guess the point I'm making is that if you're the host of the
show... Yeah,
I know
what you're saying.
All right, which Joe, yes. You know, Joe was the problem, right? Yeah. Joe, if you're a host on the show, no. You cannot... I try very hard to not get salty because of that. I keep it in a very, very real point where it's like, yeah.
It's tough.
Like last week I was pissed. Game one when they're like, Will. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay, I guess. You know, but, you know, I had fun with it. You make fun of it and you laugh at it. And I say it all the time. I think I'm going to make it the official tagline of Commander Craft. The official tagline of Commander Craft may actually be the thing I say all the time. A bad day of Magic still beats a good day at work. I feel like that should be, because that's how I want it to be. It's like, all right, you lose. You lose horribly. Your deck's, you know, just not holding up.
Yeah.
You still played Magic. You know, and you've got to keep it in that regard. Joe taking it personal. Joe being upset. And here's the thing. What really gets me is Joe's an actor. Joe's a professional. And part of how I behave on here is that, realize this, guys, Will on the show is a character. All right? This whole thing I've created is a character. I don't swear this much in my real life. I don't, you know, make these type of jokes necessarily in my real life. I'm not, you know, sometimes I'll take contrary positions to Aramis for the good of the show that I don't necessarily believe because I know it's good for the show. But I went to school for theater. Okay? I went to school to learn how to act. Okay? So Joe is in the same boat. And I look at Joe and I'm like, dude, get a tougher skin. Why in the hell are you getting mad at anybody? Like, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, you know, obviously, like I said before, we wish the best for both of them.
Sorry. I went off on a rant.
It's just, you know, but it, no, it's, and it's, and it's a justifiable rant. It's just, it's unfortunate to see because I felt like those two had great chemistry.
They did.
And I think there was the issues that were going on with Joe, and I think also creative differences that they mentioned. I think they had different visions for the show, and I'm glad that Mark is able to keep it going.
I think Joe was using it as a platform for his comedy and for his, you know,
he might have. I mean, yeah. I'm not gonna draw too much into that. I'll draw into what we quote unquote know, but. I'm looking forward to seeing how the show continues. I would like to see what Joe does in the future.
He's putting together something. He said so.
Yeah, and I hope he grows from the experience. I really hope he does.
And then I hope that they both find hosts with which the chemistry is as strong as they were. Like, okay, bring Wendy Weeks in. Sure, if she doesn't work, you know. Like, here's the thing: the whole reason this show works is you and I have our chemistry because we are different individuals who have the same viewpoint. You know. So.
Oh yeah.
I wish them well too. So, I mean, is there anything else we should cover tonight, or should we maybe...
It's been a really, really emotional show.
I'm very sad. I'm very emotional.
So a lot of negativity. I mean, there's been just a lot of stuff happening.
Well, we've been off for 3 weeks. I mean, in essence. I mean, last time we were on the air...
But most of this stuff happened, like, 4 days ago.
Like, we've been on the air, you know, three... Yeah, this would still be this full of a show tonight if we were on last week. We just would have done the unset last week. That's the only thing that I rolled over.
Crazy.
So, yeah. Crazy. On that note... All right, as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting the cards back in their boxes, and taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work into this Christmas tree shop, we want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planestalkers Podcast channel on Twitch, and there you'll see all the shows we do on both Magic and other geeky games. I'm streaming Minecraft like a motherhucker. You can also follow me on Twitch at Minecraft73, where I do DC Universe Online occasionally. We just started season 3 of the Minecraft I do with, like, the old TV Talk gang. We're calling it Backcraft because we're building Gotham. So that does show up on this channel. Follow it here or follow me at MindCrime73. And, you know, it's cool.
Yep. And if you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. You know, we try to hang out there as much as we can.
I'm on every day.
That's where you want to go.
I'm on there every day.
Yeah. I'm not on every day. I have to get better at that. I just, social media. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I ruined your flow, man.
No, it's fine. No, I'm talking about the negative thing. I just kicked out of the room. But if you want to play with us on Wednesday nights for Commander Craft, that's where you need to sign up. If you want to play in our Winterbox tournaments, that's where you need to go sign up. If you want to just talk to a bunch of really cool people who love Magic and just, you know, maybe catch a game with them at some point over Spell Table or whatever, again, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we'll tweet when we're going live. We'll tweet when something really big happens that we feel like we have to let you know about right away.
But you didn't tweet about I hate your death. What's wrong with you? You're a Twitter guy.
I did not. Well, because it keeps logging me out for some reason. I have to log back in again. Anyway, at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. That's where you'll find us. A little blue bird does the things, flies around.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Stuff. And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Planestalker. Not Planestalkers, just Planestalker. Like and follow our page there. And don't forget, we do have our Commander Craft playcast this Wednesday where we're playing Paper Commander live. It does look like we'll have Levi. I got to reach out and find out. I think it is Colin. I think Colin was our champion last time. Or was I the champion?
I'll look, but... No, I don't think it was you. I think it was one of the listeners. I know I have a new deck.
It might have been me. No, it couldn't have been me. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. So, we're going to have to go back and look that up. Tune into all of our channels on Wednesdays around 7 Eastern to watch that, or to participate, go to the Discord. We lock it to patrons only until tomorrow morning, till Tuesday morning, and then it's wide open to anybody. So if you want to play, you have a webcam and a commander deck, and you're funny, and you're not salty, and you're not Joe Johnson, just join us on Discord. Ooh. That's right. I went there.
Here I am trying to wish well for people, and you're just like, fuck you.
You know what? I've had 2 Coke Zeros, man. You want to know what the problem is? Too much blood in my alcohol system. I've said it before.
Finally, if you'd like to send us an email to let Benson know that he needs to get his circulatory system checked out, if that's really what's going on, there are 3 email addresses you can send emails to. They can be suggestions for a topic on the show, a question for one of us, maybe a deck you want us to go over, or anything else, really. The main email address for the show is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. That goes to both of us. If you want to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. My address is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note... We want to thank you guys for listening this week to the Planeswalkers podcast or joining us live here on Twitch. We will be back on Wednesday for Commander Craft, so don't forget to tune in then. And next Monday, we'll also be back doing the podcast and the live show, getting ready for the call-in show, where we'll also have that big announcement, we hope. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, I hope you're all having a wonderful holiday season. To those celebrating, happy last night of Hanukkah, and we will see you all again soon. Take care and bye-bye.